The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And I'm Paul Rust from Twitter handle at Paul Rust.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome back, Paul.
Thanks for joining
us.
Hey,
thanks for having me back. I mean, before we get into all of it, when we roll up our sleeves and dig in, guys, I just want to say thank you for having me on your show again. And, you know, I feel like I got to say, we know the show is awesome. The concept is great. Many other podcasts know that, too. But what really makes this show special is just how funny and charming you two are. And you brighten up my day every day. So thank you so much for, I guess, doing the Lord's work.
Oh. Wow, that's kind words indeed.
And you mean Lord Vader, of course.
Yeah, I'm sorry, did I not say that? You're doing Lord Vader's work.
Okay, well, that's
so thank you.
That's why we're here. Well, specifically, thank you again for that heartwarming sentiment. But the work that we're doing today is minute 106 of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Ooh. 106 starts with Darth Vader asking Padme if she sees that they don't have to run away anymore. And it ends with him asking if it's because of Obi-Wan.
A call and response.
Yeah. just like a kind of early 60s hit song.
Yeah, it's like a party anthem at a frat.
Right.
They go, what was the first question? What did you guys?
Don't you see we don't have to run away anymore?
That's because you were talking to Obi-Wan.
Like that.
Yeah, totally. I totally felt like I was in Animal House there for a second.
It's like the Moni Moni thing, which I never learned or figured out what the crowd was yelling. I had heard it was dirty.
Yeah.
You guys are familiar with this?
I was exposed to that in, like, I think 8th grade or something like that. I was at a party and I was like, oh, I like this song. And all of a sudden it was just like, wait, what's everybody's? How did everybody know this all at once? What are they saying? I think one of those words was a swear word.
Yes.
On the other end of the spectrum, my wife and I went to an 80s dance night one night and they played Moni Moni. And when it came time to do that parts, my wife started yelling the parts and no one else was doing it.
Oh, man. You were the cool kid.
Well, I didn't, maybe every day, my wife's just standing in the middle of this dance floor yelling profanity. And, but anyway, let's get into one.
Looking at her, and she was like, it might be too much for you guys, but your kids are going to love it.
Right.
Totally. She was very mad that no one knew.
Yeah. So back to Moni Moni Minute.
There's certainly, well, I was going to turn it, there's not Moni Moni, but there's moan problems. I don't know. That was a stretch.
No, I don't think it was a stretch at all. I think it was the opposite. It was retraction. The opposite of stretching.
I was hiding in my shell with that one.
Yes, yeah.
Well, there's the, yeah, it's a weird, you know, it's the, I'll say Anakin and Padme relationship, but at this point it's Darth Vader. She just doesn't know it yet, but.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it feels like a fairly pivotal scene, guys.
Oh, sure. This has some, an iconic, at least one iconic line in it, but we'll get to that as we proceed. Yeah, this is Darth Vader once again.
Does the line actually say the word iconic? Because that's the only way I can imagine. It's a,
yeah.
It's an iconic line.
Anakin at one point is just, he's like, you know, talking about how he's, you know, he's become more powerful, you know, with Darth Sidious. And then he's like, iconic. It's pretty awesome.
Dude, that was totally iconic the way you said that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so most of this minute is taken up with Darth Vader once again trying to convince someone to help him rule the galaxy and overthrow the Empire, just like in Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, she doesn't go for it.
Yeah, she was there was no convincer.
Hmm.
Yeah. What would he have done if she had said yes? If she's like, yeah, you know what? I will. Let's kill Palpatine together. I guess he would have gone for it.
Well, yeah. That would happen. And then we'd go back and we'd rewatch the old Star Wars and they would have all changed.
Like continuing the Back to the Future.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. yeah, what would, I mean, I guess he'd be happy that she agreed. I mean, when I was watching, I was sort of taken by, like, he's not doing a great job at convincing somebody, because when he says, I can overthrow them, he's like, stutters it. He's like, I can overthrow them. And then when he says, like, I can make things how we want them to be, he's like doing the craziest eyes. And it's like, do you think this would be... How would you trust this whatsoever?
Yeah, you're not selling it, dude. You people don't want what you have right now. Whatever you got going on there.
Come in with a blanket and some hot cocoa, and be like, you know, yeah, I was thinking.
It's not the best setting.
We gotta play for a while. We got to take a trip.
Yeah. So let's flip the tables then. Suppose your wife said, hey, you know what? Let's overthrow the Emperor and let's rule the galaxy together. Would you go for it? If your wife turned into Darth, whatever her name was, would you go for it? I would. At that point, yeah, why not?
I think so, because I think when you get married and take those vows, you're saying, hey... If you go and want to go and do this, space, outer space or not, guys, you gotta stand by your woman.
That would have been funny if when they got married, like Anakin purposely put in a thing saying you'll go along with your husband's, you know, crazy schemes. And she's like, why'd you put that in? Oh, don't worry about it. It'll, you know, like he knew eventually this day was going to come. So he,
yeah,
right. It's like a prenup.
Right. Or when he said, we'll rule the galaxy, she took it as like poetry, not like literally.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He meant with our love.
I thought you meant conquer our fears. No. Oh.
It does. Yeah. Like when Amidala is listening to him, I did imagine it in the context of like a real life couple. Like, what would this be, this conversation? And I could only think of it as like, if I came to my wife and I was like, I think I'm gonna go goth.
But like power goth.
Yes.
Well, like, you wouldn't even be saying I'm thinking, you would just show up goth, because right. You know, you'd be like, hey, you're gonna become goth too, right?
Right, that's more what it'd be. I walk into the house, I'm all goth out, and then I'm like, and you're goth too, right? I mean, that's what we're doing. And then I think any person's reaction would be what hers is, which is like getting really upset and saying, you're breaking my heart.
Well, speaking of real life couples, I've you know, recently been operating under the theory that these prequels are about George Lucas being consumed by Star Wars. And
Yeah.
So when he's saying, oh, we can make things the way we want them to be, I thought of a conversation like George and Marcia Lucas must have had, because, you know, Lucas's whole thing is he wants to, oh, he'll have his own, you know, special effects company. He'll have his own sound company. So he'll finally be able to have everything just the way we want. And, you know, she's like, dude, you're a giant nerd. And
that's totally what Padme should have said here.
Yeah.
Dude, you're a giant nerd. Totally...
Yeah. If she was like, you were such a nerd. You're so into Star Wars. Like, she's like, you talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
You talk about Obi-Wan all the time. You're a
Frankly,
nerd.
Dude, you're breaking my heart.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This actual scene, it's like a great idea, like a conversation where two people who are in love have to, you know, say, are you going to join me or not? And you're trying to talk somebody off the ledge, but, execution-wise, I think there's something to be desired.
Therein lie the problems with most of the prequels. It's like, it's, you know, the numbers, you know, it's paint by numbers, but the painting isn't so great. All the things, it's like, all right, well, we know we have to have this, we have to have this, we have to have this, we have to have this. And then it's like, well, the beats, you got, it's like, you know, like,
if you just, got the beats.
We got the beats.
They got the beats. They got the beats. Yeah. They got it.
They got the beats.
But yeah, it's all in the execution. It's just like they didn't pay that much attention. Like they kind of gave up once they, like, you know, broke the story, essentially.
Yeah, and then it's just sort of like, I mean, I feel like Natalie Portman's definitely, she's doing her best, and like, I don't know if you guys have ever.
She gets to cry, which is something that, you know, that's her wheelhouse. You know, that's her.
Right.
Yeah.
That's Michael Jordan doing a slam dunk kind of a thing.
Right. I think there is some weird parallel thing that happens that anytime Michael Jordan does a dunk, Natalie Portman cries, like, even if they're miles, countries apart.
Right.
They run in parallel.
Now, does the opposite happen? Does, if Natalie Portman starts crying, does Michael Jordan start slam dunking wherever he is?
Flies out of bed.
Oh no, she must be filming that Jackie Kennedy movie.
Yeah, he's like so sick. He's like, oh, they're finally rapping on the Jackie Kennedy movie. I've been doing 15 dunks a day. Throw it out my back.
He's like a werewolf. Like they have to like lock him into the gym. Basically, it's not safe to have him out in the real world while Natalie Portman is filming.
More like Teen Wolf.
Yeah, there you go. He's like a Teen Wolf.
he gets somehow Michael Jordan gets better at basketball when he becomes a Teen Wolf.
Yeah, we didn't think those.
Better, but
Didn't think it was possible, but he gets even better. Well, I guess once he becomes a teen wolf, then he kind of reverts to he becomes better because he becomes younger.
Oh, he becomes like a senior in high school.
Right.
Yes. Oh, I see.
Well, you know, to speak to the what you were saying about the George Lucas, Marcia Lucas sort of like backstory of this all. I think I talked about this maybe last time, but I was like, do you guys ever see, and Alex, I know you do a Godfather podcast, see like parallels in the ways these movies are done? Like, because we all know George Lucas was a protege of Coppola. Mm-hmm. And like a scene like this makes me think of like a scene in Godfather, like between Michael and Kay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Where it's it's kind of like the analogy Pete used, like the paint by numbers are there, but the Godfather is just using different paints than I mean, obviously the Godfather is a more realistic movie of someone losing their soul and becoming evil, so it's hard to complain, right. You know, it's not like it's a good analogy, and I think it anytime you compare The Godfather to one of these Star Wars movies, inevitably the Star Wars movie looks kind of little, you know, not as good. But
well, I don't know. The trench run scene in Godfather 2 isn't as good as the one in Star Wars.
That's true.
It's true.
So we as a society, we hardly ever talk about that trench run scene from Godfather 2 because it just pales in comparison.
Tessio shows up at the end. I always forget he's going to show up.
Oh, man. I really want that.
I actually think the end of this movie is like, I'd much rather see them doing bad dialogue when it's like this operatic over the top kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like this to me is much more palatable than them making out on the shores of Lake Naboo. You know what I mean? Like that is just so, that's like uncomfortable. And this is at least like, it's clunky, but you know, it's just lava blowing up and you know, it's very over the top. So I'm willing to forgive a lot for that commitment.
Hmm.
I agree. Like that, this is maybe the best pitch for it to be at is like,
constant yelling.
Yeah. Although I did think like, it is too bad that they're surrounded by lava exploding, because that means they have to yell all their lines to be heard. And mm-hmm. So things that would have like maybe a nice bit of intensity if it was like said in a hush, you can't do because you're like, oh yeah, I gotta talk over the volcano.
Yeah,
like she was like, you're going down a path I can't follow, and he's like, what
I can't hear you over the lava. Should we go inside?
Why don't we just go inside?
So she gets to say her line, "You're breaking my heart," which is becomes a very problematic line later on when she actually is dying and people are like, well, I guess she's dying of a broken heart.
It's like, well, she said so. Thought she was just being kind of hyperbolic, but it turns out
my cardiologist says I'm dying of a broken heart.
What? I can't hear you. There's lava.
I guess you would trust the diagnosis of the person suffering from the condition, right?
So.
She said before she died, she was the heart was breaking. So I think we got to take her word on this. No autopsy needed.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is true. You read different things and you kind of have to go by the authorized stuff to know if it's lore or not. But I did hear the original line was, "You're breaking my fart." Is that true?
I think originally it was, but then they realized that because it's a lava planet, the farts would just ignite instantly.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It would be dangerous for the actors. And so they were like, well, let's keep it internal.
Like on many levels.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I had to make a little fart joke.
No, it's all jokes. Welcome.
Some kid riding in the back of a minivan, just laughed really hard.
I'm looking at you, Oscar. The Paul, are you familiar at all with the Backstroke of the West?
Yes, the Star Wars, like the sequencing. No.
I was excited to see where you're going to go with that.
It's like a fruit. It's yellow. It kind of looks like a phone receiver, an old-timey phone.
The Backstroke of the West.
Oh, yeah, it's the retranslated version, right?
Yeah, there you go. Star War, part the third. Or no, the third gathers. Yeah. Sorry, Star War, the third gathers, Backstroke of the West.
Yes, yes.
The super double retranslated version of this.
And you've been doing like excerpts and from them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Highlights.
And so this highlights
children.
For children.
yeah. Kids don't like reading excerpts for children. I'd be scared to go to the doctor, but I knew in the waiting room excerpts for children was waiting for me, and I made it okay.
Look, it's going to be
somebody wrote.
They have a new excerpt.
We did the hidden puzzle in ink. That's what right.
Some kid ruined it. No, Peter, what were you going to say? The highlight?
When it's instead of, I guess it's when Vader is asking Padme if she sees that they don't have to run away anymore. He says, you unknown white, we do not need to flee from home again.
Wow.
So.
Getting edgy there.
He's making a statement about kind of, you know, actresses in Hollywood.
Yes.
You know, the kind of menudo qualities of like, well, we'll just get a new version of the same kind of type and that'll be it, rather than kind of, you know.
And he couldn't be more wrong. He's saying that to an Oscar winner.
Exactly. Little did he know.
Ultra known.
Was she the titular Black Swan in that movie?
Yes. Yes. For, I'd say, 90% of the movie, it's like a Pixar thing where she transforms into this Black Swan. It's cute.
It's a magic amulet. And
They have to get all the different amulets together to make it work.
Right.
It's like the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. Except with ballet.
You know, they're saying that in some ballet company right now. They're like, oh, you know what we're about to do? It's like the Infinity Gauntlet, but for ballet. We know. Somebody just said that.
So true.
I can't even imagine what they're actually working on. It's like something, you know, some rural ballet company. It would probably be incredibly charming, but not at all the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
No. I just wanted to also make a note that nothing about this seems like it was filmed in a real place.
Hmm.
And I know because it's not. Like, they didn't actually go to, you know, Lava World. Well, but
I mean, it was a real place.
Well, yes, I guess.
What is real, Alex?
Oh. Dude, you totally blew my mind with that one.
Maybe we should just like sit in silence for about 3 minutes here just to let people contemplate what. But Alex, you were saying like at least the green screen studio they were at was real.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure so removed that they were like an astral projection into that green room.
That's true. Maybe this was just, you know, like it was shot directly into my mind.
Yeah.
With a pink laser beam.
I wish there were more pink laser beams in Star Wars, to be honest, in general. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when I saw it, I feel like it has the trappings of the end of Empire. Like you said, Alex, like when old... In Han's last scene, that sort of color scheme and the...
Yeah.
Right? It's supposed to feel like old Cloud City a bit, right? Or not? I don't know. That's the vibes I get when I see it. But if it was, you know, done by MS Paint That's mean. That's not true. They're craftsmen. But come on.
Why? It's the, you know, the stuff that's going on looks cool.
Yeah.
And the people are real, but it doesn't look like those people are really in that cool stuff. You know what I mean?
I think I can't wait for a future minute where I noticed a moment where I was like, there is interaction between the fake thing and the real people. And it jumps to speak to your point. When something like that jumps out at you, you're like, whoa, that's crazy. A human interacting with his or her environment. That's like not a good sign. I don't think that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's
distracting.
It's dicey. Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Speaking of distracting, do you think is Obi-Wan does Darth Vader see Obi-Wan at this point? Like, is he looking up and does he know Obi-Wan is on that ship at this point?
No.
Yeah, because they kind of do like a big like dun 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 that he's standing there, right?
Yeah, but that's like upcoming. So I'm wondering at what point he notices that Obi-Wan is there. It might be in the next minute, so we'll keep an eye out for that.
Oh, but yeah, like he's because it's not like X-ray vision, the Force. It's just like. It's more like a dog being like, "Oh, I hear somebody pulling up in their car. That's my master."
Well, he's definitely standing in the doorway in the next minute, so I just didn't know at what point he was standing out there. And I guess he would probably say something as soon as he saw him. He wouldn't just keep talking.
Do you think there is like Force etiquette where you kind of have to be like, "I'm sensing you," so like. You know, if somebody like picks their nose, they
know you're not. You know, they
just like privacy issues, just rife in the Force.
Right, like you have to do like a Force cough, essentially. Like if somebody like if you sense somebody picking their nose, you have to do the Force equivalent of like just like clearing your throat so they know that you're there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And you just kind of ignore that it was the Force cough. You're like, it could be just been a real cough, but
right.
Thank you for, yeah.
This might be the most juvenile question I've ever asked on this show, and that's saying something.
Oh boy.
Do you think Jedis can use the Force so that like so they don't have to pick their own nose? Like they can just levitate the, the contents out without actually having to get their hands all dirty? The answer is obviously yes, right?
Right, yeah.
What's that? I forget what the rule is, but like headlines that have questions in them, the answer is always yes or no. I don't know what this point would be much better if I knew what I was talking about. But like when a headline is like, can police clean up the streets?
Right.
It's, you know, it's always like yes or no. But I feel like anytime a question is like, do you think that you could use the Force for, it's like, yes.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Some boogies.
Yeah.
Especially in the Disney era, they could do anything now. They could do all sorts of superpowers.
They've really expanded that. So you can just kind of do whatever. As long as you just like show your work, essentially. As long as you can support it. Then yeah.
I hope there's a shot of Rey in the next movie and she's standing there and then suddenly boogers start floating out of her nose. And can we say boogers? Is boogers allowed to say, oh, be said on the show?
Yeah. Okay. No, it's just a booger.
That one's also for Oscar.
yeah, what's Aya for 106?
When the boogers are flying, just what you were saying, Alex, when the boogers are flying out of her nose, she would turn to camera and go, "What? I'm using the force."
Totally, yeah.
That's how that you could. And it, no, what? It is canon. They should just do that more often.
And that's the cold open for episode 9. It's just Rey just like picking her boogers with the force, and then she just turns to the camera and is like, "What? I'm using the force."
It's canon now.
It's canon
now, nerds.
But go straight into the opening crawl.
Haters gonna hate. Well, that's all I got for 106.
Yeah,
me too.
I think if we're talking about boogers, we probably exhausted our notes for 106.
Exhausted our nose.
I'm sure you guys know this, but I think, and maybe we've even talked about it, I love the fact that the Star Wars theme, the beginning is in the same key as the 20th Century Fox theme, right?
Huh, like
John Williams wrote that so that there would be continuity, so you'd hear the 20th Century Fox theme, and then the note of that would connect with the opening Star Wars. And man, I love that. It's like one of my favorite tidbits. So if people hadn't ever heard that, that's cool.
I don't think I ever heard that.
Hey, all right. Education. That's what this is about.
Depending on how things go, there's a possibility we might get that back now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because if Disney does their Star Wars thing, does their Fox thing.
Yeah, flippers crossed, right, guys? I used a Star Wars term. Flippers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about pinball.
I think even if they don't have the movies produced by 20th Century Fox, I think they should just use the music anyway over the Disney logo. You know what I mean? It's so, for most people, that is the beginning of the Star Wars music, you know, that kind of build up and everything. It's always weird when you see it in front of a movie that's not Star Wars. It's inevitably disappointing.
Yeah.
I know. I'd say each movie studio, I have a connecting movie with it. And if it isn't that movie, there's some low level of disappointment.
I'm curious as to what your all your movies and logos are.
That was my next question. Was like, what's your TriStar?
You can't bring this up in the last minute of a podcast. This is
we'll sprinkle them throughout the week.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Right. So what studio? We'll say a studio, and we each say a movie maybe that we have some connection to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, does this one count?
Peter, did you say TriStar?
I did say TriStar, but I can't think of what, I'm trying to get to, like, the credits that come after that.
Just for the listeners who don't know, that's the unicorn or Pegasus running at the screen.
Yeah. It turns into a triangle.
Then he turns into, he does every unicorn's dream. He turns into a triangle.
I can't think of one for TriStar.
All right, that's our homework for tomorrow. We'll come back with our TriStars.
I have mine.
Oh, sure. What's yours?
All right,
Muppets Take Manhattan.
Pete, you didn't know that for Muppets Take Manhattan? That's your second favorite Muppet movie.
It's my third favorite Muppet movie.
Your third favorite Muppet movie.
I'm sorry. I'm prolonging this, guys. I hope your listeners are like, Monday's a little sweeter right now. I got a few extra minutes.
Everyone's waiting in their car to go into work, but they have to wait till the episode's over. So like, I can't
get anything done if I don't know what Alex's TriStar is.
They go into work, and they're like, "You're in a really bad mood today. What's up?" And he's like, "Hello, I don't know what Peter's TriStar is." Like, "Oh, of course, yes. Sorry. We all
ever
know what that means."
Everyone in the office is all sullen because they're all like,
"What's Peter's TriStar?"
All right, so overnight, before we come back tomorrow night, I'm going to watch a bunch of TriStar movies and
please.
Pick one, so,
please.
Yeah, we're going to have a sleepover. We just watch TriStar.
All right, Pete, take us out of this before it gets even silly. Right.
See you at the TriStar sleepover, boys.
Unicorn pajamas.
if you you listeners out there, if you want to you want to go, let's say you wanted to watch some TriStar movies, you could go to StarWarsMinute.com/Amazon, and it would take you to Amazon.com. You'd get a little, we'd get a little cut. You would get no extra charge to yourself, but you'd be able to find a lot of conveniently available TriStar pictures. So why don't you go do that, watch them. We're going to have a sleepover. We'll, Paul, can you, after the sleepover, can you come back tomorrow?
I'll have to ask my parents, but if they say yeah, I will.
All right.
I'm sneaking out.
It's just tough sometimes. You guys know to do two sleepovers 2 days in a row. It's asking a lot from mom and dad. But I think I did my chores early, so I think the lighting...
It seems like it's more of an imposition on the host's mom and dad more than your mom. And I think your mom and dad would be like, awesome, another day where we can just hang out.
Yeah, we're
nothing chill. Personal.
Well, then we'll all meet back here tomorrow.
Yeah.
For a brand new episode of Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.